Why I run.
If you promise yourself,
stay by it.
That's what I say to everyone in life is, you make the solid plan, plan A, and just go for it. There's no plan B. Because people think that plan B is a consolation, if that makes sense, you know? There's no consolation prize here. Go for the first.
Hello, and welcome to the Why I Run podcast. I'm Ayo Akimolere, and as some of you may already know, this podcast gets under the surface of running. And today we've got something a bit special for you. This is a one-off episode for you guys ahead of the Wings for Life World Run on May the 5th, 2024. Wings for Life World Run is such an amazing event. I've been lucky enough to take part in this running event over the last few years. And I hope wherever you are in your running journey, we might be able to inspire you to get out and run. 100% of your start fee is going into spinal cord research to make wheelchairs a story of the past, which is so powerful. And the best bit is that you can run it wherever you are. Just download the Wings for Life World Run app. Okay, let's get back to today's reason for running and today's extraordinary guest. I was lucky enough to sit down with one of the world's best mountaineers, and you may already have heard of him, Nims Purja. As you're about to hear, Nims runs to achieve his goals, and it's clearly working when you look at what he's been able to achieve through his life. Nims is a former member of the Gurkhas, who are soldiers from Nepal who were recruited into the British Army. They have a formidable reputation as elite athletes. But beyond his career in the Gurkhas, Nims has achieved some truly incredible feats. Some that were actually thought to be impossible until he did them. You've probably watched the 14 Peaks documentary on Netflix, where he climbed the world's 14 tallest mountains at record-breaking speeds. I've seen it, and I wonder if any of Nims's experience breaking mountaineering records might be helpful for our Why I Run squad. So let's find out. Nims, it's an absolute pleasure to have you. Look, I'm probably one of many who know your story. I find it incredibly inspirational. Most will know you as one of the best mountaineers in the world. But I read that you also have a very impressive track record running. Apparently, while you were training to join the Gurkhas, you'd sneak out at night, run 30 kilometers. I mean, that also immediately baffles my brain.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're not training to be part of the Gurkhas anymore. But you still put your body through some pretty extreme situations.
Mm-hmm.
For you right now, why is it you run?
I would say running is, in normal terminology, you know, you're approaching towards your target, right? Towards your goal. So, yeah, I'm running because, you know, I feel like I've only achieved 10% of my target. So that's why I'm running, you know, in a very fast lane. You know, coming into the point, yes, you know, I guide 11 months on the big mountains, you know, you name it, from the highest 8,000 meter peak to Kilimanjaro to 7 summits around the world. So I'm everywhere. And on top of that, we also teach people how to skydive. And yeah, and right on top of that, I run, you know, so many multiple different businesses. And yeah, on top of that, I'm husband, father, and also I'm writing the book. So yeah, I'm in a very fast lane, I think. Yeah.
So when you are going for your regular runs, do you just do it gently, or do you feel you have to keep pushing yourself as far as a marathon, for instance, if you ever had to run?
I think if I'm being very honest, you know, nowadays, because I spend 11 months on the mountain, I'm always there, you know, training and working there. So I didn't go like run. But you know what? When I used to run before, I used to do a half marathon in an hour and 18 minutes. And I love that, you know.
Come on. You're just showing me how fit you are now.
No, it's just, you know.
Casual.
You know, as I said, I used to love running, and, you know, I used to wake up quite early. So you see the sunrise coming out, and, you know, that level of, you know, happiness, enjoying and appreciating the nature. And, you know, like sometimes you could go for a dot run, you know, like it's splashing in your like legs and this dot, and enjoy it, you know. And then if you are trying to be the world fastest, that's a different training versus if you want to achieve certain goals, or if you just want to stay fit, or if you want to do it. Everybody has got different objective, right? But then as long as those objectives are met, and then the big thing of running is, of course, you know, having that thing in your head, it's going to be painful, but you're going to enjoy that pain with a greater sense of achievement at the end.
Well, the thing is, at first glance, a lot of people might see mountaineering and running and think they're quite opposite things. But I actually think they do have a fair bit in common. I also think they're both really about motivation, about self-discipline, about commitment. And also, if you want to go a bit further, endurance. And I'm sure many people listening to this can learn from you in that respect. The thing I found watching your documentary, 14 Peaks, on Netflix, is that this is thread that's sort of running through it. This idea that giving up for you is not an option.
Yeah.
Look, there are obstacles, right? Both physical and things that are beyond your control. At first, you failed to raise funding for the project.
Yeah.
And yet you persisted, you know, and then with only 7-8% of funding secured, you still went ahead and you still carried on.
Yeah.
For you, even with the terrible weather and all the other things that were working against you, are you the kind of person that doesn't think of the plan B? Because actually, if you're thinking, maybe I'll postpone this or maybe I'll give up, it doesn't give you that laser focus that you need.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people say, you know, and they talk a lot about plan B and all that. I really don't believe in that. You know, for example, let's say you said, okay, today I'm going to go and do this run, and I'm going to do this, let's say, you know, 6 miler in 30 minutes. Okay, that's whatever your timing is, 40 minutes or an hour, whatever it is. But then you start setting off and you do well, and then obviously, you're going to feel tired because we're human. And then you go straight into, nah, you know what, I'm going to go in. You never do that. You know, if you promise yourself, stay by it. So, you know, that's what I say to everyone in life is, you make the solid plan A, and just go for it. There's no plan B. Because people think that plan B is a consolation, if that makes sense. You know, there's no consolation prize here. Go for the first.
Yeah. What if, I mean, there are a lot of people who might be, you know, doing, like my girlfriend, for instance, right? I know I can run a half marathon. My girlfriend struggles with 2 kilometers. And sometimes I find it hard to get it to her that actually you just got to keep going. She reaches that point of exhaustion. And because I've run a lot, I've got to the point where I know exhaustion, I need to stay focused. That's probably when I need to stay my most focused. How do you explain that to someone that actually, when you reach that point, actually, please stay determined?
Yeah, you know what I really believe is all this thing is temporary. Because, you know, like that pain, whatever it is, and you give up, you know, that's not going to give you the satisfaction, you know. But if you endure that pain and you achieve your goal, that, you know, the sense of achievement and the way you feel after you achieve that goal, doesn't matter how painful it is so much worth it. If that makes sense, you know what I mean? So, you know, look, life is full of challenges and obstacles, you know. To everyone who's listening this, you know, it was never easy yesterday in terms of life. Neither is it easy today, nor is it going to be easier tomorrow. So embrace the challenge, you know, be positive. And I say to everyone, you know, it took me 40 years to be where I'm today. I went for like this ground record breaking stuff with a bigger purpose. And if you can put everything on the line, and on top of that, if you work hard, if you stay self-disciplined, if you do that, you will be also successful. So, you know, if you want to be successful, you will be successful by doing it. It takes time. You cannot just work hard today and expect the result tomorrow. As I said, it took me 40 years of, people haven't seen me how much I have cried. People haven't seen me what I have been through. People don't see all my, you know, that, you know, level of pain, stress, sacrifice, dedication, everything. If you also put all that stuff, you'll be successful. Yeah.
I love it. How much, you and me are quite alike, actually. I mean, your achievements by far outweighing mine. So I, you know, I was the first person ever to swim over the Marianas Trench, the Pilau nice. Trench in particular. I've never, you know, I learned to swim in 10 weeks and, you know, I did this big long swim in a very similar way. Was about reshaping stereotypes. You know, you talk about young Nepalese boys and girls seeing you wearing the cap thinking, wow, how could I be that? How much of that is what drives you in terms of reshaping stereotypes? Because when you climb the mountain, I'll be very, very honest with you, most people I see doing that are white guys from the special forces, not a guy that looks like yourself. And yeah. I'm a young Nigerian guy. You inspired me to think, wow, okay, this is interesting. Maybe it's not just for a particular group of people.
No, it's not at all. And if you look into the whole, you know, what I believe is there are extremely incredible climbers out there in the world, but the mountain community has always been small. So when the 14 Peaks came out, I'm so happy to say that a lot of people started getting into mountaineering, and that means, you know, there's more kind of, you know, awareness, education, but on top of that also, all the guiding companies, the Sherpa community, whole of the country in Nepal, and also like all those, you know, mountains in seven continents, from Kilimanjaro to South America, Aconcagua, to Elbrus, to all of that, Everest and all that, people are making their living as well. And the community is growing. And I think that's a really positive thing, Ayuba. I think most of the people who also doesn't understand is, you know, I come with all this knowledge and all that, you know, it's good to be a trailblazer, but also, you know, when you're right at the front, you know, everybody's also trying to bring you back. But then it's okay. You know, sometimes it gives you so much fuel as well that helps you in achieve even more. So that's why, you know, I went and we did the first winter ascent of K2, right? And I managed to do that without oxygen as well. So it helps you push the stuff as well. So it gives you fuel to achieve your new possible as well, you know?
Yeah, I love that. I want to go back to this idea of being a trailblazer and talk about it being a lonely place as well. And, you know, in your book, Beyond Possible, you talk about the little things that matter, you know?
Oh, yeah.
As in, it's all about the attention to detail. Like, why is that so important to you to be able to really focus on the little things? But also, obviously, a lot of people listening to this aren't mountaineers necessarily. How can they really apply that to their daily life and also look at the little things and realize just either how far they've come or how well they're doing?
There's a saying, you know, I think it's by Muhammad Ali. Or it could be anyone, guys. Don't quote me on this one. You know, like, it's not the mountains that wears you out. It's the pebble in your shoes, right? But what it really differentiates you from being the very best at the right at the top versus being average is those smaller things, how much attention you pay to the details. Mm-hmm. Right. For example, when I climb K2 without oxygen or any 1,000-meter peak, I have a buff. I take the buff. And you have a goggles or glasses you wear. And I'll tell you, you breathe after every, I don't know, seconds or whatever you call it, right? But then every breathing has to be deliberately from your mouth forcing downwards. So if you somehow like don't do that, what it does is your goggles will steam up. And you, like say if it was K2 winter, then you try to take your goggles off and try to clean it. It's already frozen now. Because it's cold, because that mist, that you know, that vapor from your breathing is water, so it frozen down. So you try to clean with the big gloves, you cannot clean it. Then you have to take your gloves out. Then you try to clean with your fingers. Then you have a frost nip already or frost bite, and then from there it escalates, and then you die. So this is how it is. It's the little thing. It's just breathing down. But then how much self discipline and how much 100% you have to stay. It is what it is. You know. So it's the little things. You know, in life, you know, so pay attention to those little things and be very self-disciplined about it. And that's what it differentiates everybody, you know, you from everybody else.
Does having a why to do something make it easier to have a focal point?
100%.
You know, the whole idea of the Wings for Love World Run is that we're raising money for a spinal cord injury. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, for me, whenever I do big runs or whenever I'm doing a half marathon, my focal point has to be something that's beyond me, not just me. Is it important for you to have a focal point as to why you're actually doing it?
100%. You know, I think the reason why I have been able to do what I have been able to do is I have a bigger purpose and vision. You know, when I did the 14 peaks, it was about showing the world that literally nothing is impossible. It was about raising the name of the Nepalese climbers and put the whole country in a global map. And that was bigger than me. And that is what it drives me. So, as I said, you know, we have the foundation, NIMSA Foundation. We look after the sustainability project like Big Mountain Cleanup. We'll give you one example. So the Everest expedition has been ongoing, if you look into history, for more than 80 years, okay? Last year alone, there were more than 50,000 people who trekked to Everest Base Camp, okay? Now, who are the people who are the backbone of all this? The porters, okay? The porters, they carry all of the people's, you know, luggages and the gear and all that. But unfortunately, they are literally $18 a day wage. Okay, so they take all this stuff, they do the hard work, and they go to this village. But once they get to this village, this day 7 of the trek, they have no accommodation there to sleep. So they have to come back to where they started that morning because they have no accommodation there. They sleep there. And then next morning, they have to wake up in early and they go up there and then they carry the same bag and they go into the next village. But, you know, what I've done is through... Obviously, some people have also donated. Big thank you to them. But also, most of the proceeding has also gone from my income. So we are building the porter house now so that they could go and they can sleep there. It's those changes because why I'm working hard, because I can make difference like this, you know. So that's why, you know, I spend 11 months away from the mountain. That's why you see me working like a mad dog. So find the purpose that's bigger than you in your life and that supports you in what you're doing, you know.
Yeah, well, something that just hit me while you were talking there about building those spaces for people that haven't had it for many years is that you're lucky in a way to have a duality. You know, like you see the world in two different ways. Because you've elevated where you started, you actually have the impetus to help fix what was before. But also, I think this brings me onto the idea of community, you know, a community achieving things together, which is what the Wings for Life World Run is all about. You know, there's this brilliant scene in the film when other climbers at the base camp said, you know, it's not possible to summit K2, but you hold this beautiful speech which says, you know, a lot of people have failed. We have to unite together.
Yeah.
How important is that idea of doing it together, someone having your back, that sense of collective achievement, not just individual achievement, but collective achievement?
It's super key, you know. You know, if you even look at into this one, some of my teammates had only climbed 2,000 meter peak when they started with me, and now they have done the 14 peaks already, and some of them have their own guiding company and all. And there was something for everybody, you know. So, you know, as a team, everybody has to grow.
It sounds really fascinating in terms of where you started and where you are right now. Not miles apart, but there's a particular determination there. And I wonder if there's any advice you can give to people who might be starting new things a bit later on in life. You know, you're finding you're a businessman which you probably didn't think, right? Someone might be wanting to do the Wings for Life World Run. It's like, you know, I'm 41. I've never done anything like this before. I mean, my thing is, it's never too late.
Everybody probably thinks that, oh yeah, NIMS grew up in the Himalayas, in very, you know, altitude, you know, elevation and all that. No, you know, I grew up in the most flattest and warmest part of Nepal. That's a fact. And the second thing as well is I started not even climbing. You know, I started going to Nepal as in like for trekking to see Everest when I was 30 years old. You know, so it's never too late to start anything. Yeah, don't be scared to try new things, folks. Have a positive thinking, guys. Try new things, okay?
You're speaking my language here. I love it. Look, there are going to be some people limbering it up to do the Wings for Life World Run very soon. And I just wondered if there's any sort of lasting mental strength kind of advice you could give them to really pursue this. Maybe it's their first time, maybe it's their 10th time, maybe they're going further than they ever have before.
Yeah, I think the big thing is, you know, Yeah, the first, you know, when you start off, it's quite, you know, happy and all that. Then you start, you know, you go into like, you know, 30% of the run, then you start feeling a bit more. Then you go towards 50, then you feel like, oh, it's, you know, can I do it? Just stay there. Stay there, you know. And then, you know, and it's not about when you get really, really, really tired, it's not about thinking about the end. It's about how you put one foot in front of another. How you place one foot in front, that's all. That's all you need to focus. One foot in front of another. And that will take you to the end line. That's it, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Whatever movement is to people, just put one in front of the other. Hopefully you will get there. Right. Have you ever done the Wings for Life World Run before? I've just been talking to you about this before now, and I haven't even figured out whether you've even heard of it or done it before.
No. I haven't done it because, you know, it's just because of my time and all that. And now I spend 11 months on the big mountains, you know, guiding and taking people to, you know, different higher mountains around the world. So no, I haven't done it, buddy.
Okay, well, the thing is, usually at this point, I often ask people if they would like to join my Wings for Life World Run team, but you sound insanely busy. So can I ask you a massive favor?
Yes,
big
sir.
Big one for the run on May the 5th. Could you send a good luck message to the guys going to run it? Because I just feel those NIMS words of wisdom, little sprinkles of positivity no. will make a massive difference.
Yeah, 100%. I would be in Everest because I'll be at that point. I'll be in Everest and Lhotse, or could be Annapurna. But wherever I am, I'll ensure that you all will get that message from me. Okay?
Honestly, I thoroughly appreciate that, and also I really appreciate your time. It's been such
an
enlightening and inspiring conversation. I love it. And honestly, Godspeed to you in whatever you're doing next, because you're going to take on the world. But don't forget, it's about community as well and family.
Yeah, always. Thank you, Ayo, and everyone who is listening this podcast. Super thank you. You know, go and achieve your new possible. All right, guys, good luck.
Oh man, what a guy. I feel like I've learned so much and a lot from NIMS through that interview. For me, the key things that really come across are his incredible positive attitude and how he's been able to harness that positivity to focus on his goals. And while we're not all necessarily scaling Everest, for instance, I think that positivity and the focus is so relevant to running. It's all about putting one foot in front of the other. And whether your goal in the Wings for Life World Run is just walking or running 1 kilometer, 5 kilometers, 20 kilometers, or however you want to get across it, having that focus and the positive attitude that can get you there, that can push through and achieve something for yourself that might feel really hard, well, I think that's really something to hang on to. If we all run with that attitude, or if we all move with that attitude, then I think collectively, as a team, we can do something really massive. So, with NIMS' positive message in our ears, I think we're all set for the Wings for Life World Run. And it's not too late to join us as well if you're listening before May the 5th. You can always run it on the app wherever you are around the world. You can find out more on wingsforlifeworldrun.com and sign up to the link in the episode description. Thanks so much for listening to the Why I Run podcast from Red Bull. Keep getting out there and keep running.